broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're radio for patriots by patriots. We welcome you to our program here, and we also invite you to join us on our website, philhendryshow.com, where we have live streaming video of the show right now. Phil TV in HD, as a matter of fact. Hey, bud, where is it?
What?
Where's our title, man? Where's the... Wow, man. We lost our Phil TV title. I don't know what happened there, but... I see. Well, you know. In any event...
What happened?
Well, we usually have a little Phil TV graphic there, and it went away, but now it's back. Okay, so...
Where is it?
I fixed it already, okay?
Here, let me fix it.
You get away from there.
You already fixed it, man.
Anyway, welcome to our program, and as I said, we're on... live streaming video right now, as well as all of our great affiliates across the country, and like that. 877-877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of things that we're going to deal with this evening. One of them is a vote that just was taken, I believe, in New York City, in the state of New York, not New York City, but in the state of New York, having to do with gay marriage. It is passed in New York. We're going to talk about that with Doug Danger. In just a moment, then Chris Norton joins us. Chris Norton from Norton Splodes and the issue of a website devoted to what he calls the M&M MILFs, double M MILFs, murdering mothers, I'd like to blank. And the entire issue around that regarding Casey Anthony. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our affiliate spotlight tonight is on KPRC in Houston. And WZFG Fargo, North Dakota, two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. Now, New York lawmakers narrowly voted to legalize same-sex marriage on Friday, handing activists a breakthrough victory in the state where the gay rights movement was born. New York's the nation's third most populous state joins Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Iowa, and the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., in legally recognizing gay marriage. Gay rights advocates are hoping the vote will galvanize the movement around the country and help it regain momentum after an almost identical bill was defeated in New York in 2009 and similar measures failed in 2010 in New Jersey and this year in Maryland and in Rhode Island. A bill like that, of course, passed in the state of California and then was immediately challenged by a referendum voted on by the people of the state of California, making it unconstitutional. And that rolled that back and became a target of a great many court challenges. No on 8 is still being challenged in the state of California, and it's anybody's guess at this particular time. A huge street party erupted, by the way, outside of the Stonewall Inn on Friday. That was where the initial gay rights challenge to authority took place, the Stonewall Riots in the summer of 1969 in Greenwich Village, New York. Doug Danger joins us. Doug, you are a gay man and a gay journalist, and how are you feeling tonight?
Well, I think it's the beginning, Phil, and I think, as I've said on your program before, we've got a lot of work to do before we are able to push this rock over the top of the hill. New York is a big moment for gay people in this country. California would have been a big moment, but California backed off. California lost its nerve. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and one of the things that I find that I pride myself in is being able to see who's got it, who doesn't, who can stand there and test the winds, the storms of time, if you will, and who is going to hide from these winds of change. New York did not hide. New York took on the challenge. New York passed it. California folded to put it in the axiom of the old joke, folded up like a cheap Chinese suitcase. It was a disgrace, but New York has given us hope again, Phil, but we're going to need a little bit more. We're going to need a face. We're going to need a galvanizing point around which gay people around this country can rally.
All right, well, here is New York State Senate. The New York State Senate stood on the right side of history, said Queens teacher Eugene Lovendusky, who is gay and said he hopes to marry someday. He repeated a chant he'd screamed during a protest at the Obama fundraiser, "I'm somebody, I deserve full equality." Cindy Lauper said, quote, "I've never been prouder to be a lifelong New Yorker than I am today with the passage of marriage equality." Cindy Lauper, the singer. A number of celebrities also praised the Senate vote. Lady Gaga tweeted that she couldn't stop crying, while Pink tweeted, "Congratulations, about time."
These are all, I think, great accolades coming from people who worked very, very hard, Phil. But I got together with Jim Rifko and a couple of other writers here on the West Coast. And we feel that while the Cyndi Laupers of the world, the Lady Gagas of the world, and so on and so forth are good, we need a galvanizing image, and we need a galvanizing image that is going to be rock solid, that isn't going to go anywhere. We are very saddened, as you are, Phil, as many people are, to note the passing of the great, great star, Peter Falk.
Yes, yes, the Columbo.
Well, Columbo was just one of many things that Peter Falk did. Peter Falk was in Murder Incorporated. Peter Falk was in Pocket Full of Miracles. Peter Falk won, he had two Oscar nominations. He collected five, count them, five Emmy Awards. Very, very thoughtful man. He also, later on in life, was a part of the John Cassavetes, franchise.
The John Cassavetes is considered to be the father of independent film.
Yes, he was in Shadows. He was in Husbands. A Woman Under the Influence. So Peter Falk was very close with John Cassavetes. And he also did comedy. It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. Peter Falk is the perfect person, I think, to use as a symbol of the fight for gay rights.
And was he gay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. Peter Falk was straight. But Peter Falk has now passed on. He has, if you will, he's fought his good fight. So Peter Falk is no more. And we can use Peter Falk's image, the name, and of course this body of great work that he did as a great artist, as a great actor, and as a man that was fearless in his own life, to push forward the gay message that we want gay equality. And
well, wait, I'm a little bit confused. You would use Peter Falk. He's not gay, okay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. He was married. But he is now passed on. So you could, my feeling, talking to Jim Rifko and a few of the others, my feeling is you can reconstruct or repurpose Peter Falk's life in this sense that he is now a gay actor and he is now the symbol of the gay movement.
And first of all, how do you do that without his family's consent?
Well, his family, I think, first of all, Phil, Peter Falk was very liberal. Peter Falk was very much a liberal artist. I don't see his family having a problem with that. But more to the point, even if they did, there is nothing illegal about being gay. So if we said that Peter Falk is gay, you're not going to sue me, because that's like saying Phil Hendry has brown eyes. Do you?
No, I don't.
No, you've got blue eyes.
Yes.
Well, it's not suable. It's not actionable. I haven't really hurt you by saying that you have brown eyes.
Yeah, but you could hurt Peter Falk. And
how can I hurt Peter Falk by saying he is something that is legal? If I said that he is something that is legal, gay, I can't hurt him. By definition, I can't hurt him. So,
all right, but would you attempt to get the family's approval?
Well, here's my thinking. Certainly we would want the family to sign off on this, but that's not really the point. The point is Peter Falk is known to his friends and to his family as a straight man, but we would use Peter Falk as a gay man and a gay actor who fought tenaciously for gay rights, who as a gay was kept out of, and not as much as other gays were kept out of other professions because it was the acting profession. And it was already, in the words of so many that were opposed to us, it was already infested and crawling with gays. But to be a gay man and a gay actor, you'd never know it. You felt as alone as ever. I mean, the journalist business was probably crawling with gays. It stunk with gays. But I never knew it when I first got in because I felt I was the only gay. Oh, man, did I feel. I thought I was the only, excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but I felt I was the only queer writer within thousands of miles.
And so there was no real contact between gay writers. There's no real contact between gay actors at a particular point in time.
Yeah.
All right, I understand that, but I'm still wondering how you can take Peter Falk, who just passed on, who is beloved, his character Columbo, if nothing else, was so brilliantly done, like Leonard Nimoy's Spock, like our good friend. William Shatner's Captain Kirk, like Boris Karloff playing Frankenstein, like Bela Lugosi playing Dracula. There are actors who so fully create a character and so bring it to life so brilliantly that we never think of them as anything else. And that was Peter Falk.
Well, that was Peter Falk, exactly, Phil. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling you that Peter Falk has more work to do. Peter Falk is gay. He's a homosexual. He's not alive anymore, but when he lived, he was a homosexual actor. And he was a struggling homosexual, and really, I think, gave us so much to fight for through his leadership.
Now, yeah, but none of that's true.
I understand that none of it's true, but that's what we need to do now with Peter Falk, now that he has passed on. We take his image, we take his name, we thank his family very much, thank you very much, and we take it and we say, we take his image and we take his name and we put him up on that big billboard in Times Square and we say, Peter Falk, queer. And what are we doing? We're using him now.
People are going to be very angry. You can say what you want about the homophobia of this country. There, not everybody that is uncomfortable with what you're doing is a full-on homophobe. They might want gay marriage. They may be in favor of every kind of equality that you could possibly give to a gay person. But they may be very, very upset or put out with you taking Peter Falk's name and attaching to it, he was a homosexual.
We need a strong... You got to understand something, Phil. This is not something that... I don't think you understand. We need a strong leader. We need a strong image. We need a strong symbol to gather around. We don't have Harvey Milk anymore, okay? We don't have some of the great leaders anymore. All we can do now is take a big name, someone who doesn't need that name anymore, Peter Falk, and repurpose Peter Falk as gay. Repurpose Peter Falk as a homosexual who struggled all of his life and overcame those odds, and
repurpose.
Will you listen to me? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And the things that I know and the things that I've seen would make you and many of your listeners vomit. All right, Phil?
I understand that, Doug.
Just hold on for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the things that I've had to go through, the things that I've seen, the discrimination I've faced, the brutality that I've seen against my community and against me personally, if you or any of your audience had to experience that, they would never stop throwing up. Okay? Peter Falk now belongs to the gay community.
And why is that?
Because, all right, I'll give you an answer. Because I said so. How does that...
Well, that's not how it works, okay? The guy has a name.
I know the guy has a name. I understand that he has a name. I'm not asking him to sell potato chips. I'm not asking Peter Falk to sell razor blades. I'm not asking Peter Falk to promote a political candidate. I'm asking Peter Falk, and I'm not even asking Peter Falk because he's dead. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling Peter Falk that from this point forward, we need him as the image of the gay community.
All right, how does this work out then? Peter Falk, a homosexual, wants us to...
Yes, Peter Falk, a gay actor, a gay man and a gay actor, wants us to pass gay marriage in this country. Peter Falk fought for this all of his life.
These are lies, Doug. These are lies.
No, they are not lies. Why do you say they're lies?
Peter Falk never did that.
So in other words, you're saying he was against human rights.
No, he was not against human rights. Is what I knew of Peter Falk, he was not against human rights, of course. But he never... You don't know what he did.
And you don't know what he did. And to say that Peter Falk fought against discrimination, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. To say that Peter Falk was a homosexual who wanted equality in acting, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
How is that not a bad... Why is that a good thing?
Is it bad?
It's not true. It's not true.
Is it bad?
Is it bad to say that Peter Falk was a homosexual? In the minds of...
In your eyes, is that bad? But watch how you answer this. Watch it, man, because you could rip the lid right off of your egalitarian persona, Phil.
I would say that saying something about a man that isn't true is bad.
Boy, do you hate queer...
Hold on for a minute. I had to put him on hold there. I apologize, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Doug Danger and others want to use Peter Falk as the new symbol of the gay community. He's dead. He passed on. He's no longer with us. He wouldn't mind being used as a symbol of the equality of gay people. And as Doug said, they want to, quote, repurpose Peter Falk's life so that he was a gay actor seeking equal rights, and he becomes the new symbol of the gay community. Is this fair? Even if it's not anything necessarily negative, can you do that with a man's name because he happens to be famous? 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching the world-famous, and you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, you can't believe what? We have Doug Danger on the line with us from the Orange County Courier. He's a writer, a gay man, and gay journalist, and the vote is in New York. The New York State Legislature has approved a bill that would legalize gay marriage. Now, who knows if they're in store for a constitutional challenge or a referendum challenge or something like that, Doug, but for now... For people who support the equal rights of gay people, it's good news.
Right, and Phil, I would say to your audience, you have always been one who claimed to support gay rights, and yet tonight you're giving me an argument.
And well, the argument I'm giving you is that you want to use Peter Falk as the face of gay rights in this country. And
I want to use a man who is a great artist, a great actor, a man who is, I think, well-known as a liberal and a person who supported artistic rights and human rights, yes, and say Peter Falk was gay, he had a gay lover. We can talk of any number of actors who'd be good that we are auditioning right now who can play the part of this gay, of a gay that he lived with. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been down a road that would make you vomit.
I already know your credentials of having been down the road and things are really rough. I know that, Doug.
Well, don't minimize it by telling me I don't know what I'm talking about.
And I don't. When it comes to your life, you know everything. When it comes to Peter Falk's life, I'm just saying I don't know that you can just automatically say, okay, great, Peter Falk's dead. Now we'll use him as a symbol of gay rights.
Well, anybody who is a hardcore fan of Peter Falk knows that he's not gay. Anyone who's a fan of Peter Falk. We'll think he was gay, but it won't matter.
And hardcore fan as opposed to a regular fan.
Exactly.
877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. We have David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. David, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm personally offended that this man would say something derogatory about Peter Falk.
That's not derogatory. There's nothing derogatory about a legal... No, it's not. It's a legal state. Being gay is legal. Can't be derogatory.
You can make up anything about anybody that's passed away, then. Why don't you
Can't. It's not only... No, you can't say that the guy was a child molester. That's illegal. Can't say he was a murderer. But I could say someone's a heterosexual. I could say someone's gay. I could say somebody had blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, but why would you do that? The point that I'm saying is this. Don't you feel you need to just get someone's...
No, I wouldn't want to lie about it. I wouldn't use you, David, with all due respect, because nobody knows who you are. But I would use Peter Falk because people know him.
Well, that's glad. You know, some of us that... Maybe he was... Your role model should be Rock Hudson. Look what happened to him.
Rock Hudson. I'm not familiar with him.
He was an actor. He died of AIDS.
All right. So he died. All the better. I can't use him. I would rather use Peter Falk And
well, this guy's saying something very intelligent. Why not use a gay man?
Who do you want me to use? No gays have died lately. And by the way, who says Peter Falk wasn't gay? Do you know that for a fact, David? No.
I know that he was married. Of course he was married.
There's a lot of gay guys that are married. Are you crazy? Come on, man. Wake up. Wake up, son.
All right, now, I don't want anything said on this show that you know for a fact Peter Falk was gay. Do you understand that?
Whoa, wait a minute, Sunshine.
No, don't call me Sunshine. Whether the man was or wasn't, we can sit here and talk about how you use that, but I don't want you saying you know for a fact. We'll be back with Phil Doug Danger, Henry. Phil Hendry. 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're broadcasting from the El Pacifico. In the background here on Phil TV, though, is the Earth Cam from Hollywood Boulevard. Seems like a regular night as the summer begins here out on the West Coast. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, talking about the vote in New York State today to legalize gay marriage. It is a very big moment, and I do congratulate the people that worked so hard, all gay people in New York and across the country, Doug.
Well, you know, that sounds real nice, Phil, but when you talk to me, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yes.
Well, you know, your irritation at the fact that I'm gay.
I'm not irritated that you're gay. I'm talking to you about Peter Falk, the man who passed on yesterday from Alzheimer's, 83 years of age, an accomplished man. He had one hell of a career as an actor, and you've decided that you want to take his name and his image and turn him gay.
Right, and you're trying to say, you and other straights, don't make him into a gay. You're basically making him into some kind of a crawling animal. Okay, I got news for you, Phil.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying you're saying something that isn't true.
I'm saying something that is, it transcends truth. Peter Falk is strong. He's gay. All right, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. He's gay. So,
well, you can't just say that.
I'm saying it. Peter Falk is gay.
All right, I know he's not because I was a fan of his.
You're a super fan. I understand that. Most people were not. And if I say, you know, Peter Falk, the guy that was Columbo, they go, yeah. Excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but it's queer as a $3 bill. And they will...
And you're going to get an actor to play his lover, and you're going to construct a whole phony life just so you can promote gay rights.
It is to promote equal rights and civil rights. I'm shocked, I'm surprised that you don't see it that way.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Bob in Atlanta on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Bob, you're on with Doug Danger.
Hey man, hey Phil. My first time listening. I like your
thank you.
Like your show, bud.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the deal. All right, you talk about Doug. You there, bud?
Bun?
You
yeah,
there?
I'm here. Yeah, okay, and this isn't the first time. And this is not the first time you listen to the show either. Go ahead.
No, it really is. But check it out, man.
Yeah, it really is. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. You know, you're awfully.
Are you gay? Let me ask you. Are you gay?
I'm not. No. But listen, okay, you say that you want to
repurpose
this
man.
Guy now that he's dead. All right, you can't just repurpose the guy's legacy that he's left behind. You know, you can't just tell a lie about who he was and that.
Let's go over to Kevin on the Phil Hendry Show. Kevin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil. My biggest issue
yes,
is
sir.
This. I've been in the journalism business for 20 years now, okay, up here in the Northeast, and you can't, and Doug, I know you're listening to me, you can't call yourself a journalist and throw out things that you are admitting you know are wrong and are lies just to advance an agenda. That's not
Well, I don't know that you're
journalism.
A journalist. I don't know you're a journalist. I don't know that you're a journalist, and I don't take advice from anonymous people that call talk shows. All right? I know what I do. I know what I do, and I know how I back up what I do. And you can't tell me how to write, you know? I'm in the business, and there's number one my number one competition is you. So I don't need your advice or how you might write a story so that you don't get the job. I get the job. And I get the job because I go about doing these things, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay?
That's all well and good. Sure.
You know that? All right, good. So I get the job done, especially when it comes to a topic like this.
You said it every 10 seconds.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, you don't know it. But see, I'm out there. I'm out there doing it. I'm out there. I'm out there getting the story.
Life and legacy. I don't.
That's right.
First of all, I applaud New York State, and I, you know, we're from Massachusetts, first ones in the country to pass this law, and proud of it. You don't know if I'm gay or straight, and I'm not going to tell you I'm gay or straight. It doesn't matter. What matters is
I'm a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Congratulations.
I'm a gay man and a gay. Okay, but what I'm saying is this. I know what I'm talking about, see? You don't.
No, that's not. That you can't say that, Doug. You can't say that.
Why can't I say that?
You don't know me.
You're both writers. You're both journalists. You're both men who go and look for the story.
The job of a journalist is to find the truth in the story.
Okay, fine. But do you say...
And you're admitting to telling a lie.
What I'm admitting to... No, I'm not. Am I on the radio right now telling you that Peter Falk, we're going to make him gay? Is that telling a lie, or is that telling you a strategy?
And then when Phil asks,
is that telling you a lie, or is that telling you a strategy? I'm telling you a strategy.
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what he was. I mean, we think he was straight, but we don't know that. But here's the thing: Phil says to you,
now we don't know.
Well, we don't. We don't. I wasn't.
Let me ask you something. If you died, let me ask you something, Kevin. If you died, and I said, now we're going to make Kevin head of the gay community. Kevin is now gay. What does that really hurt?
You know what? That may hurt a lot of people. It may hurt a little boy.
Uh-huh. So now you're saying being gay is negative.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you right now, Doug. Legal or not, it could hurt people.
Well, now I've heard it all. So all you guys, you and Kevin and everybody, being gay is fine. I'm for equal rights, but let's face it, being gay is bad. That's what you're saying.
No. Being gay is fine, but going out and picking somebody that you want to, anybody in the community, any star that you want to, and just saying as they are to advance your agenda, that's not journalism, and it's not right.
Why not? Well, I didn't say I was being a journalist. I said I was being an activist.
Well, which are you, a journalist or an activist?
You can't be both. You keep saying
I'm a gay man.
I'm going to use this guy. Here you go. Say it again.
Wait a minute. I can't be both? Are you kidding me? I can't be both? What do you call Hunter Thompson? You don't think Hunter Thompson's an activist? You don't think that Norman Mailer? You don't think that Truman Capote?
Those guys weren't journalists in the sense that you guys are.
Hey, excuse me, Phil, if you don't mind. I'm talking to a fellow journalist, so if you could shut up.
If I could, I'm not going to shut up.
Phil, are you not a journalist?
I'm a talk show host, I would say.
He's not a journalist. He's a professional performer. He's a SEAL. A train
seal. I'll tell you what, Doug, you've crossed that line to become quite a performer tonight yourself, because what you're telling us is that you're putting out there this whole agenda, and you're telling us that we have to get behind it or else we are anti-gay. And you know what? That's not true. I'm not anti-gay. I'm very proud of Massachusetts. I'm proud of New York State tonight. And here you are telling me that you're going to take somebody who has no say in the matter just because they died, and now you can use them, and you're going to advance your agenda with that. And then right after you say that, 10 seconds later, you're going to say, I'm a gay man and I'm a journalist.
I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm also a gay activist. I'm also somebody who knows when America is way behind the clock. We're way behind the ball on civil rights. Let's face it. We were way behind the ball on civil rights with black people. Now we're supposed to stand around and wait because Kevin wants to make sure that my credentials are in order. You want
to
make sure my papers are in order.
I'm supposed to get behind
just like the guy with that funny-looking helmet and those lightning bolts on his collar.
You're looking at a dead actor and throwing them in my face and saying, you know, you've got to find this guy was a strong man and he was gay, even though we don't know that for a fact. And you're telling me that I have to
on your
agenda or else I'm anti-gay.
Wait a minute, I'm sitting him on your face. So see, that's you using a scurrilous anti-gay. And
he didn't say sitting him on your face.
I didn't say sitting.
Whoa, my friend. Sitting. I heard you say you want to stick it in my face or something like that.
No, he did not. He said he was talking. He said as in your face, like in your face.
Yeah, like in your unzip him and shove him in your face.
No, he didn't say that.
No innuendo at all. What are you?
Well,
you
see,
about?
Because what you're doing is you're saying you're for gay rights and you're for equal rights. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing with Peter Falk. And by the way, here's a little queer joke for you. Wow.
No, he's not.
Come on.
No, he's not. I listen to what the man said. I think what we have here, Doug, and by the way, this has been a very spirited exchange between the two of you.
What's that supposed to mean? Like this guy's saying something? I'm a gay man and a gay activist. All right.
Oh, all of a sudden you're not a journalist.
Oh, and I
Peter Falk. Peter Falk is gay, all right? And Peter Falk is going to be gay until such time as America remembers what its obligation is to people, all people, and that's equal rights. And until we have equal rights, guess what? I'll put Peter Falk in a brassiere.
Wow.
And what's Kevin going to do about it?
Boy, I'll tell you, and you would hurt his family.
Oh, boy, Henry, you're really showing your true colors. So if I got Peter Falk in a pair of panties, a brassiere, and a flimsy burnous, you'd say what?
Hey, unless that's not a Photoshop picture, if that's a real picture of his life and what he did, then you are definitely doing something wrong, in my opinion. You can't do that to people.
You guys
being gay is fine and dandy, but now you're taking a guy. I mean, I have gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties. Are you kidding me?
You got gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties in front of you. Okay?
Is that equal? I mean,
if I want to take Peter,
you're talking about.
Well, get a load of you now. See, all of a sudden, well, you're straight. Are you straight, right? Do you let your wife work you with a?
All right, hold on. Kevin, I'll let you go, Kevin. I appreciate your call. Very, very good exchange, and I think you made some very good points. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. I had to dump that, Doug.
Oh, you had to dump that? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? The roads that I've come down...
I know, would make me throw up.
That's right. Make you throw up, it would have made Kevin break down and cry. Now, Peter Falk, I know Peter Falk was straight. I'm not saying that Peter Falk wasn't straight. But for the purposes of the gay community and fighting for the rights so that we are married and gay and all of that stuff, I don't personally give a damn because, as you know, Phil, on your program the other night, I said I was against gay marriage because I don't want straights to see that we're better at it than them, and then they turn around and we've got a civil war at our hands. But if gay people in this country are dead set on getting gay rights and getting a gay marriage, okay, fine. Here's my idea. Take Peter Falk, his image, his name, his movies, everything, and put him to work. Take one of the tough guy actors of all time and make him a sissy. If it will help gay rights.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You just don't care. It sounds to me like you don't care. It sounds to me like you are, essentially what you're saying is, take Peter Falk, even if it means using this guy in any which way, no matter who is hurt,
Boy, you're just blah, 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 right, you know?
No, I'm getting to a point.
No, you're not. You're starting talking and that.
You know something, Doug? I got things to say, too, okay?
Well, then say it. You're like, well, the thing of the da-da-da. If I didn't know better, you're sitting there looking for a call.
I got calls.
I know, but you can't put it on the air because the guy was still screening it.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Lewis in Allentown, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Lewis? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know who this Doug is. I just happened to be going through the radio stations and came up with it.
I'm Doug Danger, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm just a normal gay man, and I just have an opinion. After I pass away, I don't want somebody calling me straight. It's not like it's an insult. It's just not who I was. And he wasn't. If you want an icon, pick a gay icon. There are plenty of actors that were. You want a rock solid icon? Pick Rock Hudson. But don't call somebody straight or not after they pass
away. No good.
Rock Hudson's no good. I'm sorry.
We can't use
him. That's the way it goes. That's the roll of the dice, Doug. You know, some do, some don't. I mean, it happens. Pick somebody else.
We got to use a guy that right now has got the zeitgeist. You know, we got to use a guy that right now has got the heat. Peter Falk's the guy. We make him gay for a few months.
But it is a lie. I mean, he wasn't gay. Why say that?
Let me ask you a question, okay? Let me ask you a question. What's the difference, really, between a gay and a straight? Other than sexual orientation? Nothing.
I'd have to say that's probably about it. But that's a pretty big difference, I think.
Well, hold on. But you can't see that. The way a man walks down the street, you can't see that in the eyes of a man. If I put Peter Falk out there and I go, see Peter Falk, Columbo, you know him? Yeah? Well, guess what? Gay. All right? Now people look at him and go, wow, Peter Falk was gay? Let's legalize gay marriage.
Are you kidding me? What makes you think it's going to be that easy?
Excuse me, I'm talking to other gay men.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous? Because
it isn't true. It just is.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
Let me tell you, Doug, I want to tell you something. Really, I'm not into an exchange. This is a statement, okay? Let me speak. You are delusional, all right? You have already said you're a gay man, a gay journalist, about 15 times in the past four minutes.
I am.
Even with the other call. Good for you. Get over it. It's not only who you are. You know, sometimes I think you forget the other things you are because you're so obsessed with that.
I know what I am. I know that I am the son.
That's right, but not
of Jim. I know I'm the son of Jim and Ellen Danger. I know who I am. I know my family. But as a gay man and as a gay journalist and as a gay activist, all right, I'm gay. You know that. And you know that, right?
Are you kidding?
You know, sir, Mr. Henry, you know, peel a straight person deep enough, you find a homophobe every time.
And that's me, huh?
I disagree with that. I absolutely disagree with that. Absolutely disagree with that.
That's the
you
whole
know what,
show.
Doug? You better find yourself new friends, honestly, because you've been misled. You think you have to proclaim who you are by your sexuality only to get some kind of respect. And honestly, it's a dog and pony show. That's what it seems like to me. You're putting
when
on.
When I'm out there in the straight world, and I got to muscle my way to get my piece of the trough, I got to tell them I'm gay. Now, what do you think of me? And if they look at me cross-eyed, you know.
Yeah. I'm out there in the straight world every day, and I get my piece of the trough, and I don't have to proclaim that. I don't proclaim that to anybody. There's sometimes I want to say it, and sometimes I don't. But I don't have to say that to get what's coming to me. All I have to be is a human being. It's as simple as that.
Let me give you an example. I walked into a 7-Eleven the other day, okay? And I said to the kid, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want a pack of Marlboros. Now, what do you think he did? He gives me the eye roll like I'm some kind of a weird ass. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm giving you the eye roll.
What is so funny, Mr. Straight?
Are you kidding me? You walked into a 7-Eleven.
Yes.
And you said, I'd like a pack of Marlboros. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's going to roll his eyeballs at you.
Yeah, well, guess what? He ain't going to be doing that much longer, because I grabbed him by the shirt and pinned him up against the cash register, and I said, I bet you think I'm a sissy. You want to test that thesis? He didn't want any part of it. Okay?
Well, you know what?
I'm fighting that fight.
Whoa, I have something to say in here, Doug. You're very insecure. You know, you're coming from very insecure. What's the problem?
Lewis, you got a straight guy now, and you're ganging up on a fellow gay, on one of your fellow gay.
Okay. I gotta.
Oh, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. I hope you guys. Boy.
But, Doug, come on, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'd like a pack of Marlboros.
And the kid rolls his eyes at me? Mr. Homophobe.
I would have rolled my eyes at you, too. That's absolutely ridiculous to proclaim that in the store. I'll tell you what, they chatted about you after you left.
All right, listen, Lewis, thank you for your call. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I got to take a break. I apologize, Doug. I know he's going to be angry at me for just putting him on hold. We will be back as Doug Danger continues to insist that Peter Falk has passed on. What better person to use now as a symbol of the gay community? Peter Falk. He's now gay, had a lover. Doug has a whole, if you'll pardon the expression, backstory. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio. Boy, for Patriots, wonderful. By Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And Clarence Clemens.
Clarence Clemens. All right, on the line is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we talk about the vote for gay marriage in New York State tonight, which approved gay marriage in New York State. And there has been a celebration there in the gay community, as there has been across the country. And I have been a supporter of the equal rights of gay people for as long as the debate's been going on. So I can tell you that myself, I'm very happy. And I would hope, Doug, that you would take that in the spirit that it's intended and not look suspiciously at me like I'm some kind of a straight guy who's trying to, get in on the coattails of something else.
Well, I mean, the thing that bothers me, Fillmore, I know that you're a fair-minded man, but I just said to you that we can use Clarence Clemens as a homosexual. And
okay, I mean, how many guys do you need?
That's what you said to me off the air. So, see, now you're really bothered by it because I'm using a black guy. It's not because he's black. It's because he's got a very visible image. He was a very strong, powerful image. Clarence Clemons and Peter Falk, two homosexuals that...
You can't... boy.
Yeah. There. See?
See what?
It bothers you that I'm using Clarence Clemons. Why is that?
Doug, it's the cumulative effect of you using Peter Falk, now Clarence Clemons. You could say, I'll tell you who else just died. James Arness. How about that?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. No one. James Arness is only known by old people. You wouldn't have used that. In fact, you would have used James Arness. You'd say, well, that's okay, because no one knows who he is.
Peter Falk, it was also known by an older generation of people. And yet, and still, I say, it is his image, his name. Now you want to pile on with Clarence Clemons in an effort to somehow give the gay community a visible face, a powerful image to follow behind. Here is Chris in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. I wanted to ask your guests, why exactly do you think we need this new gay icon?
Well, I think we need to push this over the top. I think we've had the fight in California. It has scared a lot of people. I think this fight still could loom in New York State because who knows what they've got, planning. And I think not only do we need Peter Falk, we do need Clarence Clemons. What do you think of that?
I think it's ridiculous. You're saying that after all the fight and after all the progress that the gay community has made, you're saying now what we need is a gay celebrity.
Yeah, we do. No, we need a gay Clarence Clemons. That's what we need.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Barack Obama's natural inclination is caution. That's often very good in a diplomat.
I take phone calls all the time. I took phone calls with small business owners.
I'm proud to be here with people who willing to stand up. I'm proud to be here with people who understand.
I love the game of basketball.
Almost as big as me.
I like Wiener.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. This is Right Wing Radio, and every night we take it places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Is using a taser considered torture? Well, it is by some. Civil rights groups in San Francisco sure think so, and they want to keep officers from utilizing the device. Tonight we're going to be talking with a Bay Area activist, Dean Wheeler, from the Northern California Holistic Center. A meeting of Bay Area activists has just broken up there, and we'll talk with Dean direct on our newsmaker line in just a moment about this story. Taser debate reignites for San Francisco police. Civil rights group alleges tasers are torture. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. To enjoy our website, get a backstage pass. You have access to thousands of hours of archived material, a daily podcast of every single show that you can sign up for on our website, and you get it via iTunes. Also our classic podcasts, also our every single solitary night video cast, which is also available on demand for 5 days, and our news feed, and the comments section, and email to me and from me. All there at philhendryshow.com, so check it out. The San Francisco Police Commission this week will once again discuss arming officers with tasers nearly a year after the commission shot down a previous proposal to explore that possibility. We have on the line with us from Mill Valley right now is Dean Wheeler, joining us from the Northern California Holistic Center. And Dean, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil, considering.
What do you mean, considering?
Well, we're disappointed, obviously, in the decision by the police commission. We felt that had we been heard, we would have been able to sway them. This is now going to be an open debate, a public debate, and a debate that is going to take up San Franciscans and the time of Bay Area residents better spent on more constructive things.
Well, the police commission voted 4-3 last March against a proposal by then police chief George Gascon to study the use of taser stun guns by the department. Already, local community groups are asking the commission to nix any idea of using tasers in the city. Since the March vote last year, three new members have been appointed to the commission, and interim police chief Jeff Godown, or whatever. How do you pronounce his name?
Godown.
Godown, really?
Yes.
who took over as the chief of the police department when Gascon was named San Francisco district attorney, is hoping the commission's new makeup will result in a different approach to the taser issue. So the police want these tasers. Why are you against them?
Well, we're against any use of any implement that we think is designed primarily to deliver a pain response that is extended, that is a chronic extension of pain in order to direct movement or behavior. We consider that torture, and we certainly do not consider that to be within the purview or the confines of police department decorum. I think that it
is. Now, how do you know when you say torture? Let's talk about this for a second, okay?
Well, allow me to say one thing, Phil, before we discuss anything. I know you want to talk about it, but before we talk about it, I want to get a couple of other points out. And maybe the discussion will take a different tack. When you shoot someone with a taser, it is a very normal and I think a very human response, if I'm the one using the taser, to be curious about how it works, to be curious about how much of a charge it gives off, and to be curious, certainly, as to how much the human being hit with a taser will be compliant. It plays on, in other words, Phil, the worst angels of our nature. It plays on the instinct that every human being has to use an item like that and to play God, if you will. We don't want to tempt any human being into wanting to play God. And that's what we think the taser does.
Okay, I'm not sure I follow you.
Well, it's like...
Well, but hold on. I'm not sure I follow you there, but let's just, for the moment, let that be a part of the discussion here. The upcoming vote at this week's San Francisco Police Commission would not authorize the use of tasers, but would give the police department permission to go back and research the feasibility, the cost, the training, and all other aspects of putting together a pilot program. After conducting initial research, the department would then have to go back to the commission at a later date. So this has not been... this has not been legalized.
No, it has not been legalized, but we do not want to wait 1 second, not one extra minute, while the use of taser is still feasible. I know from the citizen involvement program, the citizen test program, we're fully aware of what will happen if we give tasers to...
Tell me about the citizen test program.
Well, that was a program that we were involved in with the police commission. We asked, and they very graciously assented, which I was surprised at, because every time we deal with the police, they're very hostile. I don't think it's any secret that the police are hostile. And they've been hostile to us because we keep an eye on them. But when they let us test the tasers, it suddenly occurred to me that it was an enjoyable experience. And I immediately went to Chief Godown, and I said, I've devoted my entire life to peace and to creating a peaceful world and a peaceful community. This is what I'm about, Phil, and this is what our teachings are about at our hermitage. And for me to take a taser and enjoy the idea of shooting it and electrocuting a human being, I knew that there was something fundamentally wrong with that weapon. It played on the very negative aspects and the negative humors and ethers. It played on what we call in yoga a negative prana, which is life force. And you're familiar with karma. And
all right, well, you're talking about a lot of yogic things here.
Well, not yogic things. These are very real experiences. I am a man who voted for Barack Obama. I'm a man who has voted the Green Party over the last 20 years. I voted Peace and Freedom Party before that. I was a part of some of the biggest anti-war demonstrations that this nation has ever seen in San Francisco during Vietnam and during the Iraq War. I have tied myself to Redwoods to keep logging from Northern California. I have done everything to protect life, and yet when I was allowed to use that taser, I got a thrill. The very idea that I was able to shoot these darts into a human being, I got a thrill. If I got a thrill, that means that anyone, any human being, is not only going to enjoy it, they could enjoy it in ways that would be very, very destructive. No. Phil, we can't allow that.
Well, what, now, Dean, with all due respect, because you use this taser and you got a thrill out of using it, how do you know other people are going to react that way?
Because I've devoted my entire life to peace. I've devoted my entire life to nonviolence. I have devoted...
Well, but with all, again, with all due respect, are you that nonviolent?
Yes, I am most certainly... Hold on. Yes, I am most certainly nonviolent. I am using the phone right now. Yes, I am most certainly nonviolent. And I am very disturbed by the intimation. I am going to go back and tell you. I was a part of one of the largest anti-war demonstrations that this country has ever seen, the 1967 march in New York. I was there in Berkeley at the People's Park. I was there, at a variety of demonstrations for homeless. So I don't know what you're trying to say.
What I'm saying is, and I'm sorry I put it indelicately. If you, a man who's devoted himself to human rights issues, very much a liberal, very much a progressive, and that's not bad, if you really believe what you believe, and then you get a thrill out of using a taser, what did you use the taser on?
We used it on a, God forgive me, we used it on a dog. God forgive me.
And you enjoyed it?
Hold on for just a minute. Anyone would enjoy it. That's why I...
Did you tase this dog as part of the police program?
You know something, Phil?
Did you tase a dog as part of the police program?
I tased the dog as part of... The police told us to use it. And so I shot a dog that had come across the target area.
Well, what were you supposed to be shooting?
Well, they had targets set up.
Were they living creatures?
They were not, no. But that's what I'm trying to tell you. I am the most liberal and progressive person you are ever going to meet in your life. And yet when I held a taser and I saw a dog, I had a feeling that was so overpowering that I wanted to tase that dog. Now that, Phil, is dangerous because, again, I was at the largest anti-war demonstration, et cetera, et cetera. I could give you my credentials.
I got to tell you, that is...
No, hold on. Don't begin. You're not going to judge me. I have been opposed to I've been opposed...
No, that's... Was the dog okay? Please tell me the dog was all right.
Of course the dog was all right. Of course it was all right.
All right, so... You tased a dog. The dog was okay. You're against the use of tasers. Why?
Huh?
What? You just told me you tased the dog. It was okay. You're against the use of tasers. Why? Because they give you this power or because they hurt creatures?
Because they give you a sense of an exuberance when you use it. When you use a taser on another living creature, there is an exuberance that I felt, and anyone would. If I feel it, you've got to listen to me, Phil, because you've mischaracterized what I've said.
And I'm listening to you, Dean.
All right. If I felt it, and I have been involved in the advanced arts of holistic healing, homeopathy, the peace movement, and yet I got a thrill out of tasing a dog, imagine what a cop, a guy who's a cop, they are born to enjoy that kind of thing.
You know, you are now beginning to you're disparaging cops to make yourself look good, you know.
No, I am not.
Yeah, you are. You're disparaging cops and saying they're born to like that. You, on the other hand, you're a peaceful guy and you got a thrill out of tasing a dog, so imagine what a cop would do. I find that disingenuous. I find it slanderous.
You find it slanderous.
I think you're slandering the police, and I think you, with your comment there, I believe in controlling criminals. I believe in using tasers. I believe in the death penalty. But I sure don't want any cops out there who are getting a thrill.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay?
Which means to me that I wouldn't want to see you be a cop.
No. Any person using a taser will get this kind of thrill. Please believe me.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, who claims to be a man of peace, a man who teaches homeopathy, a man who teaches yoga, a man who is an anti-war demonstrator, used a taser on a dog because he said that's what weapons do to the average person. They turn us into people who get a thrill out of pain. And we're talking about tasers. Are they? I can't get over tasing the dog is the thing that just... The animal's okay. Mr. Wheeler, he can explain himself some more. He does say, though, that tasers are torture. Do you believe they are? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Whatever else, tasing a dog.
You're making this all about that.
Well, I want to find out more about this. As you, we're talking to Dean Wheeler here on the Phil Hendry Show. He and other members of the Northern California Holistic Center and other activists in a citizens program tested the use of a taser. You're against it, Dean, because you say it's torture. But in doing that, you tased a dog, and you said that you had a good or a sense of power.
No, I didn't feel. I felt it was very addictive. There's no question it was very addictive. And I did not want to tase that dog, but the enjoyment I got out of it made me realize that making tasers legal for the police is bad. I went home with that taser as part of the citizen program, and I asked my wife, Emeralda, we need to test this on a living creature. Now, we just tased a dog out of the San Francisco police range, and she was very upset. I said, I was very upset, too, but I was attracted to it. I said, would you submit to allowing me to tase you? And she said, yes. And I was about to, and then she went back on her word. And I have, like anyone, I have a big issue with people going back on their word. And so I went ahead and tased her anyway. You can question my...
Oh, boy.
You can question my methods. But her reaction, again, gave me this sense of empowerment. Phil, do you understand? I'm a very evolved person. Do you understand what this will do in the hands of someone who's not as intelligent?
You tased your wife and you tased a dog, and both times, neither creature, your wife or the dog, wanted it to happen. Here is Julie in Akron, Ohio.
That is not true, sir.
Yes, it most certainly is true. Julie in Akron, Ohio. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to comment on him tasing the dog. Why couldn't you have tased a living person who could consent to it instead of a defenseless animal who had no say-so in it?
It's a very good question, Julie. All I can tell you is it's the reason why I'm opposed to tasers in any form.
You just said that you were, like, how are you opposed to it? You just said you were addicted to it. Like, so are you going to go out, like, abusing animals now? How are you
opposed to it?
Against it?
I am opposed to it because I am against it because that's what it will do. If it did that to me, it could do it to you. It could do it to
me. But you just said that you were addicted to it, right?
I found it to be an empowering thing. That's why I don't want to use it.
In other words, it's like a drug.
In many ways, like a drug, yes.
And you think that this is going to happen to Julie, to me, to police chief of San Francisco?
Phil, I have been practicing yoga my entire life.
You've told me all about your yoga and your peace-loving ways, but...
Well, where do you get the gall to talk down to me?
You tased a dog, man, and you did it and even had the gall to say it gave you kicks.
I did not say those words at all.
Well, we can ask Julie.
That's
what did it sound like to you?
That's animal abuse, no. And you can get charged for that, criminally
yes,
charged
you can.
For things like that.
Did the police see you do that?
police were not on the range at the time.
And Julie asked the question, why not use a human being?
Absolutely, and I think Julie's question is an excellent question. That's why I went home with the device and asked my wife to submit to a tasing so I could see what happens to a human being. Emeralda
and
said
you
that
did
she
it
would.
Anyway, even though she didn't agree to it, right?
She said yes at once, and then she changed her mind.
So then why did you do it?
I don't understand why I'm being put down for this.
It hurts, you know. You put somebody through pain, and, you know, you basically electrocuted somebody who wasn't willing to test it.
But she went back on her word. She said that she would.
So she said then that she wouldn't. So she didn't go back on. She went. What do you mean her word, man? That's not something. That's not like a binding contract. Yeah, sure, you can tase me. On second thought, no, I don't think I'd like you to do that. That looks like it hurts. I'm scared. No, I don't want you to do that. Can't you conceive of a human being doing that?
And your wife said that.
Well, then why would she say yes and get me worked up? And
see, this is what I'm saying, man. You sound so really sick.
No, boy, no, wrong. You two would exactly react the same way. And Julie, you, who's all about this dog, if you'd been out on that range that day, you would have had a smile on your face, too.
Did you smile when you...
I would have found a person who was willing to do it. I've seen it happen on TV. I've seen people, say that
fall
they'll
the
go
ground.
Through it.
Right.
Could have found anybody to do it, not a harmless, not a defenseless, or your
so
wife.
Easy to say. This is so unfair. It's so easy to say.
No, the answer is no.
Don't do things if you are embarrassed to admit to it. I mean,
I'm not embarrassed. I'm saying you were embarrassed to admit to it because you would have gotten your thrills.
Well, that's not what she's saying. That's not what I'm saying. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The taser. Is it so addictive that you'll tase an animal, even if you're a guy like Dean Wheeler who's peace-loving? We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
So dishonest.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. We're talking with Dean about something that people in San Francisco are concerned with and are interested in, and that is the use of tasers by the police. Now, I know that you were waiting this vote by the police commission. You were part of a citizen group that was using or testing tasers. You've already admitted to tasing a dog, and you have said...
You know, the use of the word, you just said you've admitted to tasing a dog as if I'm... Phil, I'm not a police officer. Think about cops. Think about prison guards. These individuals, while doing a necessary job, have personalities that are far more prone to enjoying using one of these. Now, we have the recording of me coming out of the house. You have that?
Yes, and this is one that I don't even know that the audience wants to hear.
Well, you said you wanted it.
All right, this is Mr. Wheeler coming out of his house into his garage where you saw a gardener.
Yes. This is one of the, it was part of one of the crew that takes care of the hermitage, a gentleman by the name of Ruben. And he was putting gasoline into a lawnmower. I walked out, I saw him, and I honestly couldn't help myself. And this is, I walked out, I saw him, I lifted the taser, and I fired.
Oh, my God.
Seconds.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and imagine in the hands of a cop.
In the hands of a cop, I'm not worried about. It was in your hands. You did that to a man with his back to you. You tased a dog.
Phil, if I knew I was going to be attacked, and
I'm saying to you that you tased a dog, you went home, your wife refused, you tased her, and then with that man's back to you, as you walked into your parking garage or wherever you were, you tased him. And record. What prompted you to record it?
Because I knew I was going to be on your program tonight.
And why didn't you record your wife?
Be- because she lied to me and said...
No, she didn't lie. She said that she didn't want to be tased by you. Thanks very much. And you went ahead and did it anyway. Mindy in San Antonio, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, please.
Yes. My question is, if he wanted to see what it was like to be tased, why didn't he set up a video camera and tase himself?
Well, that's not very intelligent. I mean, who wants to do that to themselves?
Well, you did it to your wife. If you were my husband, I would have turned you into the police for abuse.
Wait a minute. You agreed to be tased.
And then she said she didn't want to be tased.
She went back on her word. Okay.
What kind of a husband purposely hurts their spouse?
I did not hurt my... Emerald has been my soulmate since before we were born, and we have been involved in many different wonderful projects. She understands. She knew that I wanted to keep these weapons out of the hands of these sadistic people.
And you're a sadistic person. You're a sadistic person. You're the one that turned around and purposely tased two people.
I'm saying to you, Mindy, that you. I'm saying that you would do the same thing if you had a taser in your hands.
Would Mindy walk into a parking garage as you did, and with someone's back to her, she'd tase them?
Yes.
You're saying that, but you don't know that. The only guy that we have proof of doing that is you.
You have police officers all over this country who've tased people. I have gone out of my way to create peace and harmony, not to do bad things.
All right. Is this going out of your way to creating peace and harmony?
Would you please not play that anymore? Would you please not play that anymore?
Well, is that going out of your way to creating peace and harmony?
You know something? I'm going to lay my cards on the table. If Mindy wants to hear this, she can. If she doesn't, she doesn't have to. I'll lay my cards on the table. I needed to tase a human being. Reuben is not legal. Okay?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I think you can understand.
No, I think I understand. So if the man died of a heart attack, big deal, no one would know.
Mr. Hendry, I have supported life...
If the man died of a heart attack, no one would know.
I've supported life my whole life.
But this time you had such a thrill tasing people, you tased a man with his back to you, and because he was an illegal, you figure if he dies, what were you going to do with him?
No, I...
Boy.
What I'm trying to say to you and to Mindy both, this will happen to you, as God is my witness, and I never thought I believed in God before until now. I do believe in God now. I believe in the Christian God, and I used to believe in an Eastern God. But as God, the Christian God, is my witness, Mindy, this weapon would turn you into a Ravensbrück guard, into nothing more than one of those women in leather boots and a heavy wool coat. You know, Mindy?
I beg to differ with you, sir. I would sooner have police officers have these tasers than a gun, because a taser doesn't normally kill a person, where with a gun they could kill someone.
But the thrill that you get out of using it, see, you guys aren't even listening to me.
We're listening to you, but we think that we're coming to a different conclusion than you. Thanks very much, Mindy, for your call. 877-876-7445. Thank you, ma'am. Let me go over to Joe in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Joe, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Hey, Phil. Thanks a lot for having me on there.
What are you doing with depression?
Yes, sir.
First of all, this guy you're talking to here, is he the head of some kind of association or some kind of a group or something?
Yes, I'm with Wheeler Hermitage and the Northern California Holistic Center. We are social activists in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay.
Okay.
And we oppose the San Francisco police having these weapons. We oppose them having tasers. We oppose them having tasers, yes.
Okay. Well, I guess you're aware of the three officers that have been taken down in St. Petersburg, Florida within the last 30 days. How do you expect an officer to protect themselves? I mean, in different situations, you've got people that are approaching these officers with weapons. You got people that sometimes try to make believe that they approach an officer with a weapon. You know, they get put in some pretty particular situations. But that's
we've had a lot of cops. We've had a lot of police officers in the last. Sorry to interrupt you, Joe, but we've had since the beginning of the year, we've had an inordinate number of police officers killed in the line of duty. I mean, it could be the economy, could be a lot of things, but cops are being targeted.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that. You know.
Well, what, give them the weapons that they need, tasers to restrain or to contain a situation.
If they draw a firearm and they shoot somebody, okay, now they're in a situation to where they're going to lose their job and they're going to go to prison. I mean, that's the way it works. Okay,
well, but I you mean, got I don't this guy here.
But you got this guy here that supposedly is on a range with a taser, okay? And all of a sudden a dog happens to walk in the way, and you can't react fast enough to either stop yourself or fire in a different direction, okay? What's
that's
up with
how,
that? And then that you shoot a defenseless man in the back, okay? You don't even ask him for permission to try this out. No, you just take it upon yourself. Oh, the God-fearing man that sits there, and you say that you've done these things at Berkeley, and you stood for righteousness and people's welfare. But where are you coming off of this crap? I mean, who do you think you are? You're a sick individual. You don't need to be the leader of anything.
Excuse me, sir, but you don't know my life. I'm telling Mr. Henry.
Oh, I don't want to know your life. I've heard enough about your life. You're demented. Sick individual. You have no business being the leader of anything, and you have no business of having a taser in your hand. I mean, if anything, somebody needs to take suit against you for shooting that dog.
Yeah, what about that? Yeah, someone ought to sue
you. Have the right or the knowledge of doing it. He needs to get some help and get some help and do something about you, buddy. You're sick.
He's not going to do anything. He's an illegal immigrant. And as to your other point,
should I make him any unhuman?
Exactly. You know, for a guy that's a...
human, sir. Is he
no, it does not.
You? Does he bring
no,
he
is not. Well,
you?
Yes, I'm an American citizen. He wasn't.
It doesn't matter.
How are you so... How are you so progressive, and at the same time how are you so progressive, and at the same time you talk that way about a Mexican immigrant?
You know as well as I do that if... Boy. I am saying to both of you men something that you can't accept, and that is this. In the hands of a lesser person, and yes, I do think I'm evolved. In the hands of a lesser person, such as yourselves, you guys would go on a tase joyride that might never end. We'd hear about Joe and Phil. We'd hear about Joe and Phil going back and forth across the country on a joyride with a taser.
So, in other words, where you tase a dog, me and Joe, we'd go out and tase little kids.
I'm afraid so.
Well, you know what? That's easy to say.
Buddy. Let me tell you something. I'm operating an 80,000-pound truck right now, okay? If I want to go out of my mind and get nuts, I'll tell you what. I can do a hell of a lot more with this truck than I can that taser. No, I think I can maintain my control. I'm sorry. I don't think you can. Phil, thanks a lot. I appreciate
you taking
the time
agree.
To take me out of here.
No, thank you, sir.
I don't agree. I think that what that man doesn't want to recognize. Where's the caller?
I hung up on him. He wanted to go.
Oh, my God. You know, I can't defend myself. I can't.
Dean, you don't sound like a guy that's in very much control of anything, all right? You're saying that the taser is such an attractive and such an alluring experience that we would want to take tasers and go on some tase joyride, tasing people all over the country.
And now you laugh at me. Now you laugh. I'm not allowed to defend myself, and now I'm being laughed at.
You tase a man in the back. You tase a dog. You tase your wife. You tell us anybody would do that and worse. You tell us that you are strong, and because you're strong, you only tased your wife and an innocent man and a dog. Other people like me, Joe, all of my callers, all of my audience, my God, we might tase people to death. We'd be so attracted to the torture aspects of a taser that no, regular people shouldn't have it. Cops shouldn't have it. Thank God you, Dean Wheeler, tested it out for us. Is that what you want me to say?
Not with sarcasm, no.
No, not with sarcasm. You want me to say that seriously, don't you?
Are you trying to tell me that it's any... Are you disagreeing with that?
You better believe I'm disagreeing with it. I'm saying there's something wrong with you. Here is Clay in Lafayette, Georgia. Go ahead, Clay. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to
Let
me preface my comments first with saying that I do have previous law enforcement experience in Georgia. Yes, sir. I was a Georgia State Trooper, retired sergeant with them. I never carried a taser, but most of our troopers did, and some of the things that they did, anyone that carried one, just so folks would know this, in Georgia at least, anyone who carries a taser, an officer has to have it used on them. That's part of the training. So they will experience, they will experience, and I think Taser International actually recommends that training.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
Well,
why would anyone do
that? Let me say this. What it gives officers is it gives them a less lethal or an option other than deadly force in physical confrontations. Mm-hmm. Anything can be misused, and no doubt there would be cases where it was. But I can tell you that any Georgia State Trooper that ever shot their wife or a dog or a man working in their garage or yard would be terminated on the spot and probably prosecuted. And that's how us backward folks in Georgia think. You know, we're not from intelligent that's how we think.
I don't understand why I'm not allowed, in the name of justice, and consider who I taste, a dog. I love animals, but if you're going to experiment, why not a dog? Then my wife, who said yes, and then no. So that's really on her.
Well, okay. Why not at least... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, my gardener, you've got a point.
Got a point. Tase a guy in the back and he doesn't even know. I'll bet you he thought he was having a heart attack or something.
It was fine.
God.
Another thing, I mean, we wouldn't... I know that anyone that would have the mentality to see what you described doing and not be man enough to at least try it on yourself if you want to see if it's torture or if you want to see it for yourself, then
that's
have someone
ridiculous.
Expose
you
to it.
You know
what's ridiculous to me is that you would shoot your wife and a man that's working in your yard and a dog and then generalize everybody else as being so unintelligent that they would abuse the taser.
Right.
And you're the one that's
best
doing it on national radio.
Yeah, you don't understand that...
You know, Mr. Henry, you keep butting in. If you gave me half a chance, I could debate your callers and win.
Oh, get out of here. What you're doing here is this man made the point. Every single thing that you're afraid will happen to the rest of humanity has happened to you. Nobody else is out there tasing dogs and their wives and strangers. You are.
What about the police?
What about the police? Man, I haven't heard of one person. In the last 4 years, I know of one fatality with a taser, and that was in Canada. Those were British Columbia Canadian cops at an airport. I don't know of anybody dying from a taser in the United States. I know of some violent situations where they might have been used and they shouldn't have been used or whatever. Right. But I wish that Bay Area cop would have pulled that taser instead of his weapon when he shot that kid. Or do you prefer that he shot the kid?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that Bay Area cop who shot the kid on New Year's when he was reaching for his taser.
What are you talking about?
Oh, never mind. Listen, thanks so much, Clay. I appreciate your experience and your lending that to the conversation. 877-876-PHIL. How do you pronounce this guy? Masurli. Remember that guy? That guy was, he said he was reaching for his taser, and instead he pulled his service revolver, and he shoots that kid. And the next thing you know, we got hell to pay, and the kid's dead. And Dean, at least they didn't use a taser, man. 877-876-7445 for more of your phone calls, plus still to come tonight, the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
We'll be right, okay, we got Dean Wheeler with us. Our News Hour coming up next. I want to get to another phone call here. We have Darren in Flagstaff, Arizona. As we talk about tasers, should the San Francisco police have them, and should police officers have them? Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, I was a correction officer for 3 years in Carlsbad, New Mexico.
You know, like the other gentleman said there that you have to get trained with it and stuff, and I got trained with pepper spray. Now, I know I've been electrocuted before when I was a young kid, 17, 18 years old, and I didn't like that taser, but I would never, never in my life think about spraying a dog or anything with that pepper spray, and that hurt worse than that taser did. And this guy, I think, needs some psychiatric help, and I sure wouldn't want him watching my kids. That's the way I feel about it.
I understand that, but what I was trying to say is you got electrocuted. You weren't tased. If you had a taser and you were a corrections officer, so you must have had one, you know what I mean, the great feeling of power that you get, right?
Yeah. No, he doesn't know what you mean. Nobody understands what you're saying, Dean. No, he doesn't. And that man worked corrections, so he's around convicts.
Would you let him answer and not you answer?
All right, I'm sorry. Darren, did you feel empowered by your taser?
No, listen, I've been electrocuted by a taser when I was younger. I was a wild guy, when I was growing up. And I would never, if I would have a taser in my hands right now, I would not even electrocute my neighbor. I wouldn't electrocute my dog. I would think twice about pepper spraying him. I've been pepper sprayed.
Why not?
And I would never, never in my life do that to somebody. In the 3 years that I've worked in the corrections department, I've been certified as 13. And I would let somebody else do it because I did not want to do that to somebody, especially your
my son. No,
there's no way now I would go around doing that.
Well, my son got a hold of the taser, and I told him that you're not allowed to use that because I knew what it was doing to me. It was drawing me into a world of pure sadism. And my son insisted on using the taser, and fortunately I got it away from him. But I punished him, and I tape-recorded it, and I guess you guys will think this is wrong. I waterboarded my own son.
You want to die?
Here it is.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that?
Because he got a hold of...
He got a hold of your taser, so you waterboarded your son.
Yes, I waterboarded my son after... See, it happened after I did this. All right, that's the gardener. And then my son went, huh, that's really bitching, Dad. I get really...
5 seconds of the worst pain that I...
What is that?
I don't know. What was that?
I don't know. What was that? World-famous Phil Hendry Show and is our caller... No, he's gone, and I don't blame him. We'll be back with our news hour next hour, Phil Hendry Show.
No, I know what I said. I said to my son, and then...
Phil Hendry.
Ow.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Thursday, they are ordinary Americans who have led extraordinary lives.
There are going to be some who argue that we don't go nearly far enough.
They play it safe, are quick to assassinate what they do not understand.
Aren't I brilliant?
Are you gay?
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show. The news, what it's talking about here. And every night we take you through the looking glass of media, of talk radio, of what those other guys do. This is the talk show that all those other guys listen to. Truth is our bitch on this show. Margaret Gray joins us this evening. Ted Bell joins us. From Ted's of Beverly Hills, Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me. I saw her article in A Little Bird Told Me today about Sandra Bullock and Jesse James, and she comes right out and gives the advice. I'm sure that's advice that every American woman would give Sandra Bullock right now. But we have her coming up in a moment, which I don't believe in such a thing as sexual addiction. I don't think it exists. I think it was created by married people to assuage their guilt. Sexual addiction, you'll notice nobody who's single has that problem, right? It's only married people seem to have that problem. Well, it's called cheating on your spouse. And it's not a physical disease. It's a psychological, it's a socioeconomic, it's all jacked up, Jack.
And, you know, if photos of me playing basketball with a Nazi flag draped around me like a cape ever emerge, I'm in big trouble. But that's exactly what happened in the early 1970s while I was rooming with four other guys in Orlando, Florida, in my first radio gig. And one night, and I won't get into it, I wrapped a Nazi flag around my shoulders and tied it at the neck and went outside and started shooting hoops with this Nazi flag as a cape. And if photos of that ever emerge, I'll pay top dollar for them. I'll put them on my I'll put them on my website. You kidding? Anyway, and a teacher is found not guilty of aiding and abetting underage kids in a risque dance performance at the school. The number is 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight this hour in Cincinnati, Ohio, WQRT 1160 AM. Great to be on the air in Cincinnati and West Palm Beach, WBZT 1230 AM. On the line, Margaret Gray from the, from a lot of things, from Santa Monica, California. We're going to be talking with Margaret tonight, not so much, Margaret, as a newspaper columnist, but as a mother, although you do write your column and have been writing that column and interviewing celebrities for a long time. But your son is an actor.
Yes.
And he goes to a performing arts school, right?
Yeah, so Jason goes to a school called the Talent Pool School. That's in Santa Monica. And he has been attending middle school there. Next year he starts his high school year. So we're very proud of him. And it is a performing arts school. It's where, oh God, I don't want to get into the names, Frank. You know, Frank is here. But we've got some very, very well-known young people that go to the school. And a lot of very well-known parents, obviously, who, are dropping their children off in the morning.
All right. Margaret, so this is really about you as a parent, because we saw the story here in the state of Georgia, a Georgia teacher acquitted of criminal charges in connection with a suggestive dance routine that the students performed in class in 2008. Three male teens were caught on camera gyrating as other students shouted and cheered.
You know, I've got a comment to make about that right off the bat.
All right, but I do want to get into your experience.
No, I'm totally fine with that, but I have a comment to make about that right off the bat. Don't we have better things to do than to indict and charge criminally our teachers? This, Phil, I don't even know where to begin. This baby boomer generation is the most spoiled generation of parents I think I've ever seen, and I put myself in that category. I really do.
So you're really sympathetic with that teacher. I don't really have a problem with her either. I think that it probably was something promulgated by the parents.
Oh, I can assure you this was promoted among the parents to get a teacher in trouble. I think that this country isn't good enough for teachers. I think that if I were a teacher coming out of an American college today, I'd look for a job in another country. I really mean that.
All right, well, I don't want to get into the politics of it, you know, but...
Phil, I think it's something that needs to be said on behalf of our teachers.
All right, well, yeah, you may very well be right. I don't want to get into that. I know that I don't think teachers are treated all that well, although there are times, every now and again, when I defend teachers that I have to take it back because something stupid. But, you know, that one of them does something stupid. But I think the rules, like you're saying, that they work under...
They work under the most arcane rules, medieval rules. They change all the time. Every time one of these parents, Phil, gets a you know, as Frank likes to say, gets a pole up there, you know what, and...
Yeah, got a pole up there.
All right, hold on.
Well, I can hear Frank. I don't want to hear Frank tonight, okay?
Frank, he doesn't want to hear...
How you doing, young man?
I'm good, Frank. Thank you very much, pal. And I agree with you.
All right, here.
Phil, what we did, you want to talk about Jason J. Delmonico's dance. That was a student and parent dance.
I understand that. Now, at that dance, you were approached by other teachers?
No, what happened was this, and it was really petty and very childish. I was a professional dancer on Broadway for 4 years, as you know.
Yeah.
When the dance was on, and we all got out on the dance floor, and this was, as you said, it was a parent-teacher dance, and, it was a parent-student dance, and the teachers were there as well. So I got out of the dance floor, and because I was a former professional dancer, I'm going to do some dance moves that are not familiar to a lot of the parents.
Like, for instance, what?
Well, the there's full layouts, and there's the tiger crawl, and the and you're hiking your skirt up in sub instances. These are all very professional moves. And you're wrapping your leg, and you're doing these things that are second nature. And I think at a performing arts school, and even if it wasn't a performing arts school, I think it is a an atmosphere that we should condone and at least tolerate the dancing style of someone who was professional. What I got instead, Phil...
All right, now, yeah, because you got some complaints.
What I got instead were parents complaining to Dan McDougall, who was the principal, that I was dancing inappropriately. And I have to tell you, I thought I was going to faint. I really did. I have never in my life been accused of dancing in a vulgar way, and yet that's exactly what was happening. And I got to tell you something, Phil, I had to laugh because I thought, you know, these poor, I really thought this way. I thought these poor Rubes, they don't even get what they're seeing, you know.
Well, they saw you dancing in a risque or inappropriate way, and you felt that you were dancing in a professional way.
I was dancing in a completely professional way, Phil. There's nothing wrong with the way I was dancing.
Well, you said at one point you hike your skirt up.
During the course of the evening, there was all kinds of music. The band was playing everything from Beyonce to Chicago and to Bryan Adams and then back to Usher and things like that. So the music was all over the boards for the evening because we had the parents and the students. And so I was on my feet. I loved to dance. And yes, I was doing, at one point, I was dancing with, and this probably is what got some of the parents a little bit upset, I was dancing with Josh King, who is the son of Baylor King. I don't know if you know them.
I don't know them. Is he a senior?
He's a senior, yeah. And we were dancing, and he spun me out, and I came back, and I wrapped my leg around his waist. Now, hold on.
Okay, see, that's exactly what they were talking about.
Hold on there, Phil. Hold on. I don't want you to be a one-man committee of decency here, all right?
Well, you're dancing with a high school senior. You're wrapping your leg around his waist. You know,
this is a... I'm a former Broadway dancer, Phil. I'm not dancing crudely.
But you hiked your skirt up at one point, did you not? You told me all of this stuff.
Yes, I did. And again, I explained to you, I'm a little bit... I don't know what you want me to say.
Okay, if you're dancing and they're saying that it's crude you hike your skirt up, forgive me, Margaret, I have to ask you this.
Yes.
Were you wearing underwear?
I was wearing pantyhose. I was wearing pantyhose. Any woman will tell you, you're covered up.
They said that you hiked your skirt up, and they were looking through, you know...
Well, I don't know who told you that, but I explained to McDougall and the rest of them on Monday. I was a dancer on Broadway. If you've got some woman who's had three or four margaritas, and she's out on the dance floor, and she is acting like the town, you know, streetwalker, that's one thing. But when you have a woman who appeared in The Fantastics, which I did, when you have a woman who appeared in Man from La Mancha as a dancer, which I did, on Broadway, I think you can say to those people, she's a former professional dancer. Obviously, you people don't understand what it is you're looking at. This is really what upset me more than anything else. And these parents got together and, like, little clucking hens, you know, I thought it was very amusing. So I said later at the school, I said, this is a performing arts high school. If we can't recognize what great professional dancing is...
All right, but hold on. Can I just interrupt you for a moment?
No, but if we cannot recognize that, Phil, then what are we going to tell our children?
There were students there as young as 13 or 14.
This is not about me. This is about the provincial attitudes of some... It's about the provincial attitudes of a lot of parents, Phil.
All right, so I just want to be clear. You wrapped your leg around this kid.
I wrapped it around a pole. I wrapped it around him. I did a skirt hike. I did a layout. And
what is a layout?
I did the splits, all right? Now, all of these moves are professional dance moves.
Yeah, but what people were saying, and I understand, I know that you're pro, they could see under your dress.
Phil, anybody else, I would understand this. I was a professional. It is not vulgar when done by someone who knows what they're doing. And I knew what I was doing. These parents, I don't know, some of these mothers, maybe they're jealous. Maybe they wish they could dance like me.
Well, all I knew is that what you told me is that a lot of these women were upset that you were doing these dance moves and they could see under your dress. But what you're saying is that as a professional, it's not vulgar.
Because I know what I'm doing. And, you know, they're always looking to complain. They wish, those women wish they were in the kind of shape that I'm in to do some of those moves.
All right, let's go to a break and then we'll come back, okay?
Absolutely.
We're talking with Margaret Gray, the author of the Little Bird Told Me column about her experience at her son's, it was a parent-student dance, where some of her dance moves were interpreted by the other parents and teachers as vulgar or crude, but Margaret's a former dancer on Broadway, so she is explaining here that, you know, when you're a dancer, when you're a professional, obviously you are not dancing like you're the town, as she said, I don't know, floozy or streetwalker. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to your phone calls and more from Margaret Gray. Later on, we get Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills to talk about small business scrambling to try to help this country that, in his words, is being wrecked by Barack Obama. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number, and on the line with us is Margaret Gray from Santa Monica. Her son attends the Talent Pool School, which is a performing arts school there in Santa Monica. Now, this was a dance, and I understand it was a parent-student dance, and as such, you're there with the students, and I know it's a performing arts school, Margaret, and I know that you used to be a professional dancer, but when you're doing dance steps where you're literally lifting your skirt over your hips, I guess, you know.
It's really about the culture. I think if you're raised in an environment where everything is what I call a tee-hee, that is, you put your finger to your cheek and go, ooh, you know, how daring that was. Well, it's not really all that shocking when you are a polished professional, when you're a sophisticated individual and you understand what it is you're seeing. If I got up in front of a group of parents, all right, as I did, for instance, when we had Jason's class, and we traveled to Indiana last year. You remember that?
That was the performing arts thing.
Yes, and we were in Bloomington, Indiana. And I got out on the dance floor for one of our parent-student dances, and I was wearing, at that time, I was wearing tights. I was wearing, and I know you laughed, but I was wearing leopard skin tights and heels.
Right.
Well, I got out there, and I shook my rear end a little bit, and I pulled the tights down, you know, halfway down my hips. I was trying to show those people there what it means to perform. And what did we get? We got complaints. We got an awful lot of people. I was stunned, and I was very sad, really, to hear a lot of those parents say, and I can't do it, but you know, well, I don't think, you know what I mean?
Well, look, Margaret, that's Bloomington, Indiana, where you were with the kids, and you're out there doing these dances, you know, where you're shaking your rear end and pulling your tights down.
All right, and so you say what, that Bloomington is more hip than Santa Monica?
No, I'm not. I'm saying Santa Monica got upset with it too, didn't they? Santa Monica didn't like it. Bloomington, Indiana didn't like it.
The point that I'm making is that Santa Monica should have been much more comfortable with it. I was stunned to see Santa Monica react the way they did in Bloomington, or the way they did that night in Athens, Georgia, as well.
Well, you're doing a national tour with these kids, and they're dancing, and you're out there
pulling your tights down and pulling them up. You know,
Phil, you know, I'm beginning to resent this a little bit.
No, I know that you're a professional. You don't mean anything sexual. But when you pull, let me ask you something. If you have on a pair of tights and you pull them up so that you're looking at the obvious contours of your body.
That was the Lawrence of Arabia dance.
I know what you mean about the Lawrence of Arabia dance and there on their camels and all that stuff.
It was an interpretive dance, and those people in Bloomington, the people in Indiana, you know, I really resent the position you're taking right now.
No, they simply said that they saw you pulling your tights up so tight that they're looking at the contours of your body. They were trying to be polite.
They don't get it about performance art. They don't get it. And that's why I was almost saddened to the point of tears. To see the people in Santa Monica react the same way.
All right, I I'm a friend of yours. I understand. I'm just trying to suss this out, as they say. 877-876, Phil.
Well, the parents treated me as if I was some kind of a cougar. All right, and that's good and bad. That means the fathers think I'm attractive, and the mothers think that I am almost as if I'm carrying a disease, an STD, some sort of a superbug. And it is absolutely belittling.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm sorry if you had that feeling. Here is Nathaniel in Fresno, California. Nathaniel, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
I feel that there are a lot of forms of dance that might not be appropriate in a high school function. Take, for example, exotic dancing. The underlying defense here was that, I'm a professional.
No, this is not exotic dancing.
You know?
This is from the Broadway stage.
Well, I know, but a lot
the
of
Broadway
stuff
stage
looks like that. It is not appropriate because it looks like that and it portrays that.
They're no, it does not portray stuff. That. It does not. You don't understand. I was doing dance steps from Man from La Mancha, from the Fantastic. I was doing dance steps.
Situations.
It means that some people don't understand it.
Well, at what point does the lack of understanding and your understanding as a performer, at what point do you say as a performer, these people don't get it, maybe I ought to tone it down a little bit?
No, that is censorship. That is censorship, and that's not what we
do.
Well,
I feel that's common courtisy.
Common courtesy is
opening
a lot
of people have an issue with it and are taking exemption from what you're doing because there are children involved. And they don't want their children to be exposed to this. I think as a teacher, as a professional teacher, you should have the kind of courtesy to refrain from doing that and say, you know what,
I have a responsibility
have
to teach.
I'll refrain.
I have a responsibility to teach as well and to say, just because you can see through my pantyhose doesn't mean I'm trying to do a sex dance. I'm doing a dance from Man from La Mancha.
Yeah, but they're looking right through your pantyhose.
And then there is a difference. Had it been a dance class where you were instructing that form of dance, that would have been a different story.
Listen, Phil, about a half hour ago you were agreeing with me. Now you're agreeing with this man.
The gentleman is making some good points.
I really feel like I'm getting stuck in the back here.
All right, thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. How far do you dance these suggestive dances in front of kids?
Phil Hendry.
Back with Margaret Gray in a moment.
Phil Hendry Show.
All right, I'm listening. Margaret, I don't know if you can hear that music.
Yes, okay, good. This is good. Listen. All right, so 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. And I do a full splay. Now, this is a full splay. And you're right, my dress does come above my... My dress comes a little bit above my hips.
But see, you're not...
Hold on. I twirl around. And then I do a split, a sort of a very modified split. And yes, you're supposed to be able to see When you do a split, you are supposed to see under the skirt a little bit.
All right, I got it. I got to just get back to our phone calls.
But that's a small demonstration there. And that is what is called jazz dance. And for some of these fathers at the school or in Bloomington where we went in Indiana, to look upon what I'm doing as a lap dance, they wish.
877, well, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. They were complaining, you know, about what was going on. Let's go to Tina on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Tina.
All I have to say is dancing like that at all, at any kind of school function, I don't care even if it is a school of dance. It's not appropriate at all. I understand.
I agree with you if it's being done by someone that is not a professional. I was on Broadway.
I professional or not. I'm a stripper. I do strip occasionally, not as much as I used to. I find
darling, I'm not talking, with all due respect, I'm not talking about stripping, all right? I'm talking about being on Broadway.
I'm saying, I think that is
Broadway. Broadway.
It doesn't matter if you can see anything that shouldn't be shown in the school, it's inappropriate. You have to mortify the daylights out of your child.
You know, Phil, if I could, I find it very offensive that you've got a stripper telling me what to do.
Tina is calling in as any other caller, okay?
But she doesn't know. She said, oh, yeah.
It's a children's school. You're not supposed to dance like that, ever.
Well, why do you dance
even
the way you do?
Even if you're a professional dancer. It doesn't... Dancing like that makes you look unprofessional.
Dear, I'm talking about Broadway dance. You know that I'm not talking
like
about...
That is unprofessional.
I'm not talking about hunching a pole in a strip joint. Excuse me.
You said you put your leg around a teenage boy.
What's the difference?
God, if I was that child's mother, I would smack the daylights out of you.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that you're putting your leg around... Are you not wrapping your leg around things yet? So I don't think you...
She's wrapping her leg around a pole. Were you dancing with a teenage boy?
Yeah, I was showing that...
School. I'm dancing in a club for 21.
I was showing that boy...
There's a huge difference between the two, darling.
I was showing that boy jazz dance. If you are telling the students, oh, look at this, let's get our rocks off, watching Tina, then they're going to think it is inappropriate. But I was showing that jazz dance.
You don't dance like that in the school. Do you not understand? You do not dance like that in the school. In a strip club that is different. There are no children.
Margaret, I was curious.
Phil, let me demonstrate to her what I'm talking about. If you can just get this. Now, you've heard this music before, obviously. Tina, can you hear this?
I don't think Tina can hear the music.
Well, you know she's dancing to this. How many 20s have gotten shoved down that? You know what I mean?
And
you do the full layout.
And
inappropriate for a school.
I don't think you're in any place to say that what I did was disgusting.
Do you dance to Michael Jackson? What is wrong with you?
I invite all of your listeners now to call in and defend me. This was a stripper that was telling me that I'm dancing inappropriately.
Well, I don't know that you're going to get a lot of people who are going to back you up.
I know a lot of people agree with me, and I think it's highly offensive. And
I think a lot of callers are going to understand Bob Fosse, and not you coming out dancing to "You Can Leave Your Hat On." And I would ask you this: have you ever danced to Michael Jackson?
You don't dance in a school like that. Period. That's it. You don't dance in a school like that.
All right. Have you danced to Michael Jackson's music?
Yes, I have, but that doesn't matter. You just don't dance in a school.
So you feel good.
Are you really judging the head to hear that? You don't dance in a school like that.
You feel good making that kind of piss money to a dead man's music.
With children.
Margaret.
No, Phil, maybe what she's saying is right, but this is a woman that makes big tip money to a dead man's music. And I find that offensive.
What are you talking about?
I don't dance to Michael Jackson. I have my own track that I dance to, and no way in hell would I dance to Michael Jackson.
Well, you lied then, because you said you did.
All right, look, Tina, I appreciate your perspective. I really do, and thank you very much. And I don't think you should belittle her simply because she is a stripper.
I think that the people listening to this broadcast right now understand that I just did battle on behalf of thousands of mothers. I told that stripper where to get off. It's one thing for her to give a man a lap dance to the music of a dead man while shoving it right up into it.
All right, I understand what you're saying. Okay.
It's another thing entirely, Phil, for me to be giving performance jazz dance lessons.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Scott. Scott, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't know that it's so much about whether it's right or wrong. I think when I am listening to her that it sounds like she had some success and attention while she was dancing on Broadway years ago. And it sounds to me like she's actually missing the attention, and so she's going out and dancing provocatively and kind of receiving that attention. So it fills that void that she had when she was younger and performing and getting applause and things like that. So I'm kind of more, my comment's more addressing why she's deciding to act out like this.
I don't know how to respond to that. I'm a former professional dancer. I gave this performance in front of the students and the parents as a way of demonstrating what jazz dance is. Some of it is risque. It is not obscene, unless, of course, the people who are watching it are not educated. Now, I don't know where you are.
Gentleman's in West Palm Beach.
Well, that's near Miami. I would expect that band to have a little more education than some of these, forgive me for saying this, some of these hayseeds.
Margaret, you just talked to a lady in Boston. You're talking to a man down in Miami. This is not hayseed country, okay? And you're talking to people in Santa Monica, that's Los Angeles, so they understand what a performance is and what an obscene dance is.
What was obscene about what I did? Tell me, go ahead.
Didn't you say that?
Phil,
go ahead, Scott.
This is probably none of our business, but what is your age category? I mean, are you in your 30s?
You know,
40s?
You've already demeaned my ability as a dancer. Now you want to make fun of my age? Is that it?
No,
I don't think so.
But it's not making fun. It's trying to understand why you feel your actions are appropriate and
are you telling
and
me? So you think I'm Baby Jane? Is that what you think? I'm Baby Jane? You think I'm getting into my makeup and I've got Victor Buono throwing up on my piano? Is that it?
No, Margaret. No.
That's what he thinks. I'm Baby Jane. And let me tell you something, friend. If you saw me, the lights would go out. So,
Margaret, I know that you're an attractive woman. She's in her 50s.
How dare you?
The man was asking, and we have to know. Now, the point here is that you're dancing in this way that you say people don't understand. Now, everybody is misinterpreting. Margaret.
Well, they're misinterpreting because we don't have exposure to the arts.
If you're lifting your dress up above your rear end and you're not wearing panties on and you got pantyhose on and people can see through it and then you're wrapping your leg around somebody and then you're doing this crawl and God knows what.
Thank you for butchering beyond recognition by act with your lifting your dress above your hips with the...
Well, I think it's the venue of where you were doing this was inappropriate. If you wanted to expose...
Uh-huh.
people to the arts, then you can do it on a stage in a professional environment, not at a high school or middle school.
And Scott, I would tell you, well, I think what you're saying is very good. If you saw me, it'd be a $20 minimum.
No, it's really...
Whatever that means, you know.
Meaning, what I meant to say was, he'd look at me and say, well, she must be $20. Never mind.
You don't want to be taken as an obscene dancer and... Yeah, I'm sorry, Scott. Go ahead. I was just going to say, she doesn't want to be taken as an obscene dancer, but she's already pricing herself as a lap dance.
Well, that's what these guys understand.
Listen, brother. I appreciate your call very much. Let's move on. 877-876-PHIL.
I'm glad you got rid of him, because all I could hear from that man was... And I am absolutely stunned beyond all recognition that you kept him on as long as you did.
He was making excellent points, and he was trying to be very sensitive to you. And
oh, he's saying, how old are you? Maybe this is an age category thing. As if I'm Baby Jane, and I roll my eyes upstairs as I put the lid over the rat.
Margaret, you know...
No, not Margaret, you know. No, not Margaret, you know. No. I've been insulted. Frank and I do a lot for the school.
What's that?
Jason J. Delmonico School.
I don't...
877-876-PHIL. Let's take another phone call here. We have Jeff in Illinois. Jeff in Illinois. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Margaret Gray.
How you doing? I've heard over and over and over Margaret's statement that she is a professional, which is understood by everybody in your audience.
Well, I don't think people get the connection.
Let me finish first, and then I'll let you have your chance.
Go right ahead.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
I'm a public school teacher, and I've taught all different ages, and what they see, they imitate. What they know, you know, what they know is appropriate, they know is inappropriate or appropriate. I don't understand how you're incapable of understanding you're being inappropriate in a public school. Be it if it's professional dance, be it that you've been on Broadway, I understand that up and down. I mean, you've made that abundantly clear. I don't understand.
You know the statue of David. You know that it's a nude statue. You know that you take children to see nude statues. You've taken children to the museum to see a nude David. You've taken children to the museum to see, in some instances, a nude Madonna as she is nursing the baby Jesus. To you, that is not obscene, and to me, it's not obscene.
Would tell you that
but when I go out on the dance floor and I show my ass...
You're a professional dancer or not, Margaret. I don't understand how you're incapable of understanding the inappropriateness of your actions. Wake up. Common sense will tell you. Use the common sense that God gave you. Please wake up and realize it.
I am. A nude David and a nude Madonna.
And your ass.
Yes.
Margaret, you just said that we take kids to museums to see...
To see the nude David.
Yeah, the nude David and a Madonna and the Virgin Mary and your ass.
Well, so what?
So I'm in the same thinking...
Margaret, keep speaking. I love this program.
Oh, you do? You love the show? Okay, here it is. When you take a child to see the nude David, which is a classic statue, I'm sure you would agree...
Well, let me make another...
Never mind.
The guy's right. The nude David, a classic statue, and your ass.
I happen to think it's also a work of art.
Not the from Michelangelo.
You know, both of you guys, this is two men ganging up on a woman.
Huh.
Two men ganging up on a woman. I really... And you know something, Phil?
No, Margaret, nobody is... I'm not putting down your performance experience, nor is this gentleman, but what we're saying is when you display it in front of children...
It was a dance, a parent-student dance. And when I lift my dress up and you're looking at what I got...
Oh, then I'm staring at the Michelangelo's...
The what?
I'm looking at a statue?
No.
All right, look, sir, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray on the line here. Appreciate the gentleman from Joliet, Illinois. He's a teacher talking with us about Margaret Gray and this dance, this modern jazz dance, whatever the hell she calls it that she was doing in front of the students at the school. She may call it a Broadway dance or an interpretive dance or a classically artistic dance, but when you're looking at her rear end with, you know... Just the pantyhose, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, P-H-I-L. Back with Margaret Gray and your phone calls in a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is so unfair.
No, it's not unfair.
Phil Hendry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're going to get back to some phone calls, Margaret, but one of the major complaints of that night at this parent-student dance was that you and a girl by the name of Christy Rodriguez, a mother by the name of Christy Rodriguez, did a dance step from Chicago.
Oh, I know. You know, I don't want to talk about this, Phil.
Well, I mean, we have to talk about it. Okay, Ms. Rodriguez herself, the mother of two boys in the school, was shocked by it.
You know something, Phil? Christy Rodriguez had had a double mastectomy, and I was doing something to try to make her feel like a woman. Now, this is a move from Chicago. I put my face between her, and I'll tell you something else. She has newly reconstructed breasts. They're beautiful. So I put my face between them, and I went like that, like a man would.
And that's from Chicago?
Yes, it's from Chicago.
And what made you think that woman needed to feel like a woman?
She'd had a double mastectomy.
She'd had reconstructive surgery. She was healthy. She's out dancing.
You're making me the bad guy here. That's the thing that really makes me crack. That makes me laugh until I want to. I have to go to the toilet.
877. You don't have to whisper, ma'am. 877.
Well, I don't. You know what? I'm not as crude as some of you people have been.
877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. Elaine in Los Angeles. Elaine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, I just wanted to say how she said earlier that she felt like it was guys ganging up on her. I'm a female myself, and I am really young. I consider myself, you know, pretty liberal, understanding of, you know, everything like that. And I wanted to comment on how you were comparing what you did to going to see the Statue of David. Because that is artistic nudity. There's no, like, sexual connotation to it whatsoever. And obviously what you did in
there's
front
no
of children...
There's no sexual connotation to what I did. There's no sexual connotation to what I did either. That's what you're missing, you know.
What you're doing is basically... The dancing that you're doing is basically like burlesque dancing. If you were doing stuff like from Chicago and stuff, how is that not sexually?
That is jazz dance. That is jazz dance. That is modern interpretive dance.
And it's
putting your face.
To be sexy.
It is not sexy in the sense. What's sexy about putting your face between two reconstructed breasts? You know
that's uncalled for.
What
that is, you know, it's one thing to first of all, you know, say the woman's had this kind of surgery, then to do this move that you wanted to make her feel better, and hear on national radio, but you know, it was two reconstructed breasts. That's so hypocritical.
Bill, I work with children, and I think it's so unfair. I tried to do my best. You know something? No one has mentioned Buzz Aldrin on Dancing with the Stars, have they? Does he look like he's got to pull up his, you know what? Yes. Has anybody called him out on that? No.
He's not acting sexual.
He's not acting sexual, so he doesn't look like he's battling a you know what.
What do you mean a
and
you know what?
TV. That's on TV. That's not at a school where there are children, where parents
oh my
send their
God,
children to that school not expecting them to be exposed to anything like that.
Are you telling me you don't think children are watching Buzz Aldrin? A man who we should honor, who had landed on the moon, and he is dancing as if he's a little stiff-legged from you-know-what. I am...
You know, I don't see any of that. I don't see any of that.
You don't see any of that in that, but when you look at me dancing, you think I'm a slut.
No one has used the word slut. What people have said is overly sexual dancing. Overly sexual dancing. What is this?
And here he is after he...
overly sexual.
After Buzz Aldrin gets out and dances as if he's, you know, as if he has to strap it to his leg. Now he...
All right, can we clean it up a little bit?
Comes out with a phone app.
All right, Elaine, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Warren on the Phil... Oh, you know what? We're plumb out of time, Warren. I'll give you 30 seconds, sir. Go ahead. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. First off, we accept that it's a responsibility. My question is professional. There should be some type of professional accountability and responsibility in your performance. Would you do that same performance, say, in a church dance, for instance? When you're doing your Broadway show.
Oh, I'd have
show,
no problem. I'd have no problem with a church dance.
I only got 20 seconds, 5 seconds now. Whenever you was doing Broadway, when you were doing Broadway, did you have underclothes underneath your garments?
Of course not.
Phil Hendry. Go to TalkRadioNetwork.com for more information.
Come on.
tripping out.